Good morning and welcome to Living Better in San Diego, a public service presentation of the Entercom San Diego radio stations. I'm Susan DeVincent along with Yvonne Ermey. In studio today, we have a very special guest from our sister station, Alt 94.9. He's the host of Legends of Alternative. He's a local radio icon and our very good friend, DJ Steve West. Steve, we are so thrilled to have you here today.
It's early in the morning and I'm going to be here anyway.
True, that's a good point. And along with Steve is his friend Chad Little, board of director member for Pints for Prostate and self-described ultimate Mobro.
That's
yeah.
Me. He drags me in here early too.
You see, it's Men's Health Awareness Month. Just hit it from all angles.
For anyone who thinks that this is November, it's not. This is Movember. But for those not familiar, can you tell us what Movember is all about?
Okay, Movember is about a number of things, but basically, guys should start the month clean-shaven and grow a mustache. But Movember, the organization itself, is about a number of things. It's about encouraging men to pay attention to their health, listen to what their body's telling them. Also, it's about the importance of mental health among men, because suicide is one of the it's up there as one of the leading causes of death among men. So that needs to be handled. And then it's also raise funds for the to find the elusive cure for cancer. And then, of course, exercise more, as in move. That's the move part of Movember. And the mo part is the mustache part.
You know, that's really interesting because I always thought that it was just about prostate cancer. I didn't realize it was about all of these things.
It's about men's health in general, with a focus on prostate cancer, which is what my buddy here is here for.
You're my bro.
I'm a survivor of prostate cancer. He's here to talk about it.
Well, you guys do both have personal stories that kind of brought you to this. You with your dad, right?
My dad was diagnosed in 2006. And so ever since then, I've been sort of an advocate. And it was, it's been 6 or 7 years now that...
Well, I'm an 8-year Mobro, so it would be 7 years, maybe.
7 years that I was introduced to Steve, and Steve was doing this effort. And so I made sure that I reached out. And since then, Steve and I have been doing this and become great friends for quite some time now.
Well, and Steve, you mentioned it too, but you know, you're a hero here around our Entercom stations because we all see what you've gone through. Do you want to share a little bit about your story here?
Yeah, I twice survived this thing.
Twice?
Once in 2004, I went to the doctor to get some migraine medication. I used to get migraines.
Yeah.
And before I left, he said, look, we haven't done a PSA in a while. Let's do one. PSA is a prostate-specific antigen is what it stands for. It's a thing in the blood that they can measure as an indicator of prostate health. Not necessarily prostate cancer, but prostate health. But anyway, they did that. It came back high. They told me to go see a urologist. The urologist did the whole diagnosis and biopsy, and it turned out it was stage 3 prostate cancer.
Oh, my.
So I had radiation and then surgery for that. And since then, the PSA has been rising, but it doesn't show up anywhere on any scans. And then 2 years ago, I got diagnosed with esophageal cancer. With that, I had chemo, radiation, surgery, and I'm just about to go on to a treatment regimen of a new immunotherapy, where they're not actually drugs now. They're things that bind to your immune system. Because cancer cells are basically cells the immune system doesn't know what the hell to do with. Yeah. So they've got these new things that they bind to your immune system, basically. It's just to put it crudely, they bind to your immune system and teach your immune system, hey, these are bad cells, go after them and kill them. And they've had a lot of luck with it. The particular drug that immunotherapy that I'm doing is going to be Keytruda, which they've already approved for lung cancer and skin cancer, and now it's been approved for esophageal cancer.
And with that type of cancer, though, as a radio personality, aren't you worried about that it's going to affect your voice and you wouldn't be able to work again? I mean,
that was the first question I had for the surgeon. Yeah. How is this going to affect my voice? He said, don't worry, we cut right below the voice box.
Oh, how scary is that? Oh my gosh. We'll try not to miss.
Yeah, they took them just below my voice box in the top third of my stomach, all that. Gone.
Wow.
He still sounds British.
Yeah.
He does. Yes. It didn't take away his accent at all. That's a good point.
Chad, do you want to tell us a little bit more about you and your dad?
Yeah. So, like I said, my dad was diagnosed in 2006, and I really didn't even know what prostate cancer was at that point. Just hear the word cancer, you panic. And I was able to do some research and find out more about it. And by dumb luck, I'm up in the Pacific Northwest, and I'm at a beer festival in Portland. This is a few years later. And I see this booth that says Pints for Prostates. And I'm like, my dad's got prostate cancer. I got to figure out what this is. And so I go up, and that's where I met the founder. And Pints for Prostates is an organization where we go to beer festivals, and we make sure we share the information with men. And I'm like, I got to be a part of this. I said, how do I do this? He says, well, we're as grassroots as it gets, buddy. So see what you can do. And at the time, I was living in Nevada, and I reached out to a few different places, and I just fought my way in to be a part of these events they were doing so you could get time to talk to people. And so now it's been a very successful model of going to beer festivals and other events throughout the country to reach men, what we say, through the universal language of beer.
Yes, you got to go where the men are.
Just as an addendum to the universal language of beer, men traditionally do not like talking about their health or going to see the doctor.
That's for
sure. Or even admitting there's something wrong. For that reason, we also target ladies, which we'll get to a little bit later on. We call them Mo sisters. Mm-hmm. Because you have uncles, boyfriends, husbands.
Who have ways to make their men go to the doctor.
We have ways to make
a man do whatever we want.
Last year, I actually used the term nagging, and I got told off.
No.
It's not nagging. We're looking out for your best interest.
It's nothing but love.
With beer festivals, what I say is we're going to find men or people that know men. The joke is because it's often the spouse that is a very strong advocate that's going to make men take control. Yeah.
What age does this affect in terms of men? Do they get checked at a certain age in life?
There's a lot of discussion going on about it. Some say 40, some say 45, some say 50. The rule of thumb is generally if you're an African-American male, because it tends to afflict them at an earlier age, you start at 40, Caucasians 45, 50.
Chad, do you concur?
Yeah, Steve and I differ a little bit here, but it's close. The idea is we both advocate. I say, I agree with him on the 40.
Stay on top of it.
Since I have family history, then I think that's earlier. So I started when I was 35 doing a PSA test.
That's true. If you've got family history, then by
changes everything.
It does.
What's important is, it's not even that number. I think what's important is the message is that you're doing it and you're doing it annually. Mm-hmm. Like, this isn't just a one and done sort of thing. So think about going to the doctor each year and you get like a cholesterol screen. As a man, you should be getting your PSA tested because it's important to see that measure year after year so they can track it and then tell more about it. Because just one score by itself doesn't really tell you anything.
How do they do the PSA test?
Blood.
It's blood work.
Yeah. So everyone that's nervous out there, we're starting to talk about prostate cancer. Everyone gets really nervous.
Yes.
No, this
is later.
I mean...
what you're thinking about is later.
Right. Okay. I was going to ask you, like, when does the glove go on? What about that test?
Maybe it would help if we kind of just define what the prostate is.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. It's a part of the male reproductive system. There are three components. There's the prostate, the testicles, and the seminal vesicles, which are up next to the prostate, which are what produce the sperm. Anyway, so the prostate is a part of that equation, and it sits right below the bladder, wrapped around the urethra.
Okay.
And that's where it sits. And it's deep inside, so it's hard to get to for a normal exam. And the exam you're all screaming about just now is what they call the digital rectal exam.
Yes, that's the one with the glove, right?
That's the one with the glove and the finger.
It better be. And
yes, use protection.
Yeah. Grin, bear it, and get over it. That's what I'm going to say. Mm-hmm.
So that's an annual thing, like a woman gets a mammogram every year.
Exactly.
We don't like it either. Yeah. We don't like sticking a breast inside that machine, but you just got to do it.
It's pretty rough.
Yeah, we say that's what you do. And so generally a doctor, once over 40, generally doctors will do the DRE. And what they're doing is they're feeling for some inconsistencies and nodules.
Mm-hmm.
They're just using, that's where they have to come in that way to feel. But generally that's what you're saying. You're combining that with PSA and a conversation with your doctor,
mm-hmm.
right? None of this is us advocating saying, here's what you should do. We're just saying, hey, don't you want the data to help make a decision?
Just one more thing real quick. It's asymptomatic. There are no symptoms.
Really?
No. If you have symptoms, it's likely it's too late because it's already spread. There is no pain associated with it, or you may later on notice something weird with urination and stuff like that, but by then even it's probably too late.
Chad, can I point out too, before you talk to your doctor, talk to your family and get your family history. Too many people don't talk about this kind of thing.
This thing runs lateral in the families, by the way. It runs, if you have a brother who's had it, you're likely to get it.
Are there other people that are high risk? So age and...
Smoking is, of course, one.
Really?
Yeah.
Some doctors will say if you're a man and you're old enough, you're going to get prostate cancer.
Yeah, that's the thing.
What? Really?
Most men who die of natural causes of old age will usually, if they do a biopsy, they'll find prostate cancer within them. Most men will die with it, not from it.
Do you know, it's funny that you should point that out. In the olden days, they didn't really know what people actually died of.
But let me add here, that's not to say that most men die with it, not from it, that men don't die from it. Men do die from it, and if you're not controlling it, the next place it goes is the bone. And once it gets into the bone,
yeah,
it gets into the system. From there on, you're talking about hospice and management and stuff.
Where are you today, Steve?
With my prostate cancer, I have a rising PSA, but they can't see anything on scans. With the esophageal cancer, we had a recurrence. That's why I just did another 6 rounds of chemo, and I'm going to do the Keytruda as a backup to that. That's a stage 4. It's gone distant. Stage 4 is when it travels distant. So we've got to keep a really strong eye on it. I just did some scans last Friday. I'll have the results of that probably in the next day or two, and then we'll take it from there.
So this is something that you need to check for regularly, right?
Oh,
you need to keep on it.
The esophageal cancer,
PSA,
not so much.
But the prostate cancer,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
So what about for people who don't have resources like insurance or things like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. And some will say if they have insurance, maybe they won't pay for the screening. That's why it's important, as you said, to make sure you know family history. Because if I start to talk about family history, my doctor is going to say I need to pay attention. One of the things Pints for Prostates does, we raise funds not only just to create awareness at the beer festivals, but we provide free screenings for men. And we do that with the help of the Prostate Condition Education Council. And we'll be at events like just recently, there's a really big beer event, the biggest one in the country, and you've got a lot of the San Diego contingent there, right? A lot of brewers here in town. We provide free screening. So we test men at the event, and they'll get a free PSA test as long with cholesterol and all that stuff. We get a free screening. So the funds that we raise are to do that. So what I would say is if you really want to get a PSA test, first off, they can find me. They can go to pintsforprostates.com, .org, and they can find me and send us an email. But we certainly can find you resources. There are organizations that will do free screening. So that shouldn't be the answer about why I don't get tested. Sure, it's a little obstacle, but there are plenty of services out there that will provide free screening, and we can point you that way.
Well, a lot of guys have heard about Movember, and a lot of guys are happy to jump into this because they're happy to not shave for a whole month.
They have to shave. I feel like it might actually be more work, right, because you're grooming.
Technically, you're supposed to grow a mustache, not a beard.
Right, but some guys just are like, I'm going all in.
Technically, you're supposed to be disconnected somewhere, right?
Right. It's like cheating.
So what I do, it's
Fu Manchu.
Yeah, so what people should do, to your point, is the idea of where it started, is the whole genesis of Movember was back in the day, people getting a mustache didn't happen so much. So these guys just kind of did it on a whim.
Yeah.
And then they're like, hey, maybe we should do something about it. And so the idea is this ugly mustache was showing up. Right. And people are like, what is that on your lip?
You know, like girls do during Breast Cancer Awareness Month, they do these, post these silly things on Facebook, like wearing undies on your head or something. Weird, crazy things,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
Well, this is basically that same thing, only for men. Right? So what's the mustache for?
Whatever draws attention.
Opportunity to start the conversation.
Right. I have one more mustache question.
Yeah.
So was a goatee considered a mustache?
No, yeah, it's not. So it doesn't touch at the chin, and it doesn't connect all the way around. But at the end of the day, I would say, hey, if you're doing it for the right cause, I'm not going to throw a flag on you and say, sorry, that's not Movember. For all the hipsters that have beards out there, if you shaved, people are going to notice, and they're going to ask why.
That's
the opportunity to have a conversation about men's health. That's the idea of the mustache.
Okay. Well, we have a straight razor in the other room. We're going to get to your beard right after the show is over.
I shaved on the first. This is just me growing.
Okay,
so
what I do is I
raffle off. I say, if you donate by the third,
then
I do a drawing, and one person gets to choose my mustache style for the year.
Oh.
So I've selected that. Now the person is going to decide what I'm going to grow, and then I will start to shape that mustache.
Oh, I love that.
What mustache styles have you had in the past?
So last year was a Fu Manchu.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Before that was a trucker. I've done this one crazy thing that went all the way around up my chin one year.
Wow.
I tell everyone they could do anything, but no Hitler. We're not doing the Hitler.
Of course not. They could
choose.
The guys are happy to not shave. Some are not very successful at growing mustaches. Do you have any tips for a
man? First off is fertilizer. No.
I have no idea.
So the funny thing is Movember realizes that too. And so they actually have a contest and they call it the lame mo. They actually say, like, if you could just barely grow some, like I have a really good friend, Filipino friend of mine, and he says, I can't grow a mustache. I'm like, well, Teddy, you can do the lame mo and you can post pictures. And that will be like, that's even better, right? Because if you got a stylish mustache, people are like, oh, that looks good. If you got this little dirty, furry lip.
Like a little peach fuzz, like a teenager.
It's so funny. Actually, our Filipino coworker, Hula, is growing his mustache.
Good.
And we were examining it earlier, and he was telling me, like, oh, you know, it's probably not going to get that thick. But I told him, you know, to get some mustache, what's it called? The mustache gel or wax to train it.
Fertilizer?
Mustache wax to train it. But
fertilizer for the mustache. Yeah. They actually did one year, Movember sent out these mustache grooming kits with a tiny little mustache comb and trimmer and all the rest. Yes.
All right, let's talk about, though, a way that we're going to really raise some funds here, and that is with your station, Steve, Alt-94.9, yeah. is really standing behind you and showing support for this with a silent auction on 94.9. Tell us about that.
Yeah, what we do, we run these auctions. You can get to them at alt949radio.com. And then you'll see a picture of me up there. Just click on that. It'll take you to the page. And you'll see a couple of things. You'll see a link to come join our Movember team, which is one way you can help raise funds. There are, below that, there are listed our auction items. And there are a number of things. There's
really
Wonderfront,
good things.
A big festival is happening. Wonderfront. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have VIP passes for that, which I think is worth a couple of grand. If I'm
$2,400 value for that. Mm-hmm. And by the way, can I just say, some of the stuff I've already seen that has been sold, you get great deals. So you should definitely go on to the website and check out what they got.
Somebody just picked up a $500 gift certificate for Snow Jam for $350.
Yeah.
So, and these are changing.
All the time.
They're adding items
throughout
all
the
month. Long.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then one other item that we do that stands out is we get an opportunity to come in and do the show with me.
Yes,
and
cool.
And not only they get to do the show with me, they get to program the music. They get to pick all the music for 4 hours.
Which is insane,
Which is insane, because normally we don't even get allowed to do that.
No, everybody thinks DJs pick the music on a station.
Believe me,
there's charts, there's graphs. Well, not your show. There's people, there's teams of people that choose these things. It is so
very
above
rare.
Our pay grade, absolutely. But very that is
rare.
Amazing. And usually if anybody lets you do, it's like a set. Oh, you'll pick three songs that we'll play. Not
it's four hours
worth.
Four hours, and it'll be sometime early in 2020 we'll pick a mutual date.
So get ready to work.
Bring your list of tunes and we'll have some fun with
that.
It.
Is that's amazing.
You've got a bid on that, and you can do that at alt949radio.com.
Yeah. And that's just, you know, a couple other things. We've got tickets for Machine Gun Kelly on November 17th. That's at the Cal Coast Open Air Theater. That's up there right now. Snowboard. We've got other cool things that are coming.
Well, one of the really cool things I think that's on here is this guitar signed by the 2019 Coachella artist.
Yeah,
really the cool 1975 item. Super Organism, Odessa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tickets to sold out shows. I mean, if you love music, either you're going to work Steve's job or, you know, there's all kinds of great concerts and events we can send you to. And again, a lot of this stuff, limited edition, super high value. And
that's,
you know what? Just come throw a bid our way.
Yeah. Or you can just make a simple donation, like I said.
Yeah.
Follow the link to our Movember team. And come join the team, make a donation. And I think, if I'm not quite sure, we're still trying to connect it up yet, but we've got something very special for the highest fundraiser on our team this year.
Oh, really?
There's a little incentive.
How long has this been going on, Steve?
This is my eighth year. Chad's your
eighth
seventh
year?
I think.
Well, I guess our six or seven together, I'm a 10-year Mo bro. So.
Oh, he's a 10-year
Yeah, but
I'm,
but when we met, yeah, about six, 7 years ago.
How old or new is the Movember movement? Like in general?
About 10 or 11 years.
It's probably, yeah, probably 11 or 12. I should know that off the top of my head. I'm embarrassed as a Mo bro. I don't know that number.
So you guys are in from the beginning, pretty much.
Yeah, from the early days, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Because what happened prior to this, there was an organization called Blue September. Because September was to traditionally, what you did is you painted your face blue and or dyed your hair blue.
Oh, this seems much cooler.
Right.
Yeah.
This is less work and it's, you know, kind of a lot cooler. But Movember does a lot of really cool things. They support the Prostate Cancer Foundation. It's where a lot of the funds go, and the American Cancer Society. So, and they do a lot about spreading the word, which, you know, it's hard to get the guys sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, to get them to go to the doctor. And
well, when you were explaining to us about Movember earlier, and you were saying that you guys also do a lot of work with mental health. So what does that look like?
That is basically about talking to someone, you know.
Yeah.
If you feel like, you know, there's something troubling you, and talk to someone.
Yeah.
His help is close by, and there are all kinds of resources out there, and we try and drive people to those resources. But definitely talk to people, talk to friends, and don't get hung up and feel guilty or, you know.
Yeah, I feel like that would be a very valuable resource, especially since we were talking about the positive attitude that maybe survivors or people who've been diagnosed with different types
positive
of cancer.
Positive attitude is a big thing with cancer.
I think in general, I think there's such a mind-body connection, and I think I was telling you guys before that I saw an interview recently with Magic Johnson when he got diagnosed with HIV. He thought that was a death sentence back in the day, and it really was. And his doctor, when he went to the doctor, said, pretty much snap out of it. Here's what you need to do. Mm-hmm. I want you to watch your diet. I want you to exercise and get good sleep. Take care of your immune system. And he said, I have not missed one day of working out. And he is healthy. He looks amazing. So mm-hmm. I believe in that connection, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, when you're told, I mean, it can be devastating. I remember the first time I was told. I vividly remember turning around and looking in the doctor's eyes, and he's telling me, we've got a problem here, you know.
Because you were stage three, that first point, right?
Yeah, the first time around.
Wow.
And so it can be scary. But then I did a lot of research about it. And like I said, there are a lot of new technologies that have come online now that a lot of these cancers are highly survivable. I believe now if you're diagnosed as stage two prostate cancer, the 5-year survival on that is 100%.
Wow.
That's great.
Right now. I think it's like 80% if you're stage three, and then somewhere around 70-something if you're stage four.
You know, talking to you, Steve was here in the building not long ago. We had a little Halloween meeting and then Halloween party, and it was fun. But all of a sudden you were like, hey, I got to go. I was like, Steve, aren't you going to stay for the party? He's like, it's not a good day. It's like that, right, with cancer. Good days, bad days. Mm-hmm. I mean,
When
you're getting treatment. And how would you suggest somebody talk to someone that's going through this, that's having a rough go? You know, I mean, people always want to be able to put something in kind of a box and say, this person's either really sick or they're doing great. You have a good day. People think, oh, he's out of the woods.
It's no good saying there, you're going to be all right.
Yeah.
That generally doesn't work. But explaining things, I think, in general, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, we focus on this awareness.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, 1 in 9 men are still going to get it. And so what do we do for those 1 in 9 men, right? Steve's one of those. My dad was one of those. And there's another organization called Us Too, and they provide resources for those men so that not only just checking in with them when they've been diagnosed, but to help them talk with other cancer survivors, other mm-hmm. men that have been diagnosed, to talk about treatment options.
Yes.
And how did you talk to your family about this?
Mm-hmm.
And what was the plus and minus of that treatment versus another? And then also meeting on a monthly basis, or even sooner, to just, like you said, check in with them. How are you doing?
One other thing, too. If you're currently seeing a doctor about your cancer, ask the doctor if he's got other patients that are willing to talk to you.
Oh, that's a great idea.
I'm an advocate at UCSD for talking to patients.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had advocates that I've talked to, you know, with regard to, well, how did this go for you? How did that go for you?
Yeah.
And you're actually talking to patients who've seen the doctor that you're actually seeing.
Yeah.
So you're getting a nice picture, and it can be very reassuring.
Yeah, I feel like I would want to talk to someone who was doing the same, you know, a part of my community that's going through the same thing that I'm going through.
And for men, like you say, they don't like to talk about this. They don't like to address it. So they don't want to discuss it with family sometimes. But, you know, men can be like teenagers sometimes. You know? Teenagers don't listen to their parents. Yeah. But if another teenager tells them something, they're like, oh, okay, great. That's a great idea. But if their mom said that, forget it. But if another guy, if they can see themselves through another guy that went through this same experience and feels the same emotions that he's feeling, that's got to be very, very powerful.
Oh, yeah, because then I can be. So the idea is you're taking charge of your health.
Yeah.
You're becoming the advocate. And to Steve's point, talk to your doctor. And if you don't like the information you're getting from your doctor, it's time to talk to another doctor.
Exactly.
You're right. It is your job to be your own advocate for your health, to figure out what's going to be right for you.
Should you get a second opinion, by the way?
Yeah. If you're not comfortable with the doctor you have, by all means, get a second opinion. But do some research and get a good doctor in the first place. And a couple of things, and most doctors don't mind this. Record the session. You have a device in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
Record the whole session with the doctor.
That's a great idea.
Right, because you don't remember everything he tells you during the session, but you can go back and listen to it afterwards. And then when you want to talk to somebody, like I said, ask him if he's got patients of his own who are willing to talk to you, and he'll generally will fulfill that gladly.
Or bring somebody with you that wants to be a patient advocate.
Right.
I did that for my mom. My job was to sit there and take notes because we would leave a meeting with a doctor, and she'd be like, I don't remember half of what he said, because all they hear after, it's like wah, 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 mm-hmm. after you hear about a bad diagnosis.
Yeah.
And it's hard to absorb all that information.
Yeah, they hear one word and they stop. I was an advocate with my dad, and I tell you, we came out of it with different understandings. So having someone there, I think a must.
I've had caretaker experience also with my father who passed last year. But, you know, it's important to have, like, I love what you said about take a recorder, because that's what we would do. And especially if you're playing telephone with all of these people in your family. So,
oh, there's that.
Yeah. It just keeps everything real the way that it's meant to be translated, you know?
All right. So let's talk again about 94.9. Let's get back to that, because this is really where we want to send everybody right now. So again, the website to go to.
Alt949radio.com, and then tune in on, if you're on Alt949 right now, stick around, be a couple of minutes. If you're on another station other than Alt949, tune in Alt949 at 6 a.m. and come listen to the show, and we'll be talking about men's health, and we're auctioning items, and of course, having fun and playing some great tunes in the process.
Well, you're lucky 6 a.m. is right after this show, so you know, you're not be stepping on our toes, mister.
Yeah. No, you'd be stepping on my toes. This show's going to go now.
No, well, we, Steve, really honor, actually, both of you for sharing your story here. I mean, I want other men to be able to see themselves through your eyes and to know if that's family history. By the way, can I go back to something that you said earlier? Mm-hmm. When you said it kind of goes across lines, does that mean that you're more likely to get it if your brother had it, not your dad?
Yes.
Oh.
Well, I don't know if there's a relation, but it's definitely blood relation. It's like, so if I was like, they say 1 in 9, but if like someone in the family has it, then I'm going to move to like 1 in 4 or 1 in 5.
They say it tends to move laterally, but it can move from, you know, father, son, but it tends to move across the family.
All right. Well, happy Movember, you Mo Bros. By the way, can you just say, I know you guys have a pretty good friendship going on here. You're more than just Mo Bros. You're actual bros. How did you guys meet?
We met through doing this back when I was at another radio station, and I think you called, didn't you?
I did. Hey, someone said, you got to get hold of this Steve West guy. I said, I did. I sent him, and he said, and it was like literally, come on in. It was like the next day I was in on a show, and ever since then, we've been able to help.
We've been doing the show together for the month.
Hey, listen, this guy's been around for a long time. He's kind of a big deal, Chad. He's kind of a big deal. I'm not kidding when I say the guy's a radio icon.
You've been doing it as long as I have, too.
I know. So what can I say? We've both been around for a while. No, but really, I mean, here in our building, you have to know the tremendous love that we have for you, Steve.
I saw that the other day. I was mind blown.
Yeah.
But should we explain what went on?
Yes.
They gave me an award for, I don't really know why they gave me
It's really
award.
Just
They're
a
They're called Awesome
coin.
Awards. They're awards for being awesome.
Award, yeah. Because Yvonne got one, too.
Then the place just broke into this thunderous noise.
But yeah, we all like stood up and cheered and cried and everything.
It was like, whoa, what did I do to deserve this?
Well, Steve, it's very inspiring what you've done. I mean,
I appreciate it.
On the radio and you've shared this with people, and a lot of people keep it very close to the vest and don't talk about stuff like this. You talking about it is hopefully going to make a lot more men get out there and get checked and stay healthy.
Yeah, not a lot of people know that. I was actually doing my Sunday show every other week while getting chemo.
It was incredible.
In that moment, I was wearing this fanny pack with a little pump in it and a chemo bag, and I did that every other Sunday.
It's amazing. Very inspiring. And then all of a sudden, one day we'd hear like, you know, Steve can't come in today, and it would make us all scared. Like, is he okay? And, you know, we don't want to like mother you, but we just were smothering you a little bit, and for that, I apologize.
No.
Not really.
Thank you so much.
I don't mean that
at
all.
I've got to go and do my show now.
All right, well, we're going to let you guys go. We do appreciate your time today. Thank you so much for coming. Remember, you can help support Movember, raise awareness for prostate cancer, bid on the silent auction, the Alt949 website at alt949radio.com, and bid big on that one for Steve. Are you programming the whole station for 4 straight hours?
Yeah.
I can't wait.
And ladies, don't forget to nag your husbands, your boyfriends, it's not nagging.
We're
to support your husbands, suggest, however you want to say it, whatever euphemism you prefer.
Right.
for Movember. And that's a wrap for this episode of Living Better in San Diego. If there's an issue you'd like us to talk about, or you just want to drop a line, email us at livingbetter@entercom.com.
Thanks for sharing part of your Sunday morning with us, Sue DeVincent and Yvonne Ermey, hoping you enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we'll see you next week.
The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the opinions and views of the staff and management of the Entercom San Diego radio stations. Episodes of Living Better in San Diego are available on this station's website.